I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. House Speaker Mike Johnson delaying the Senate impeachment trial of Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas until next week. The decision coming after a group of at least 10 Senate Republicans urged the Speaker to delay delivering the articles of impeachment to the Senate to allow more debate and prevent Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer from tabling the trial completely ahead of the weekend and then sending senators home. Kansas Senator Roger Marshall says if Schumer does not let this trial happen, Republicans will respond. Watch.
Tabling this impeachment articles is a nuclear option. In our estimation, this is a nuclear option, and it will necessitate some type of nuclear retaliations.
Some type of nuclear retaliation. What exactly that would be, unclear. That was Maria Bartiromo, of course, pointing out that the House members have convinced House Speaker Johnson to delay sending and pressing Chuck Schumer on the Mayorkas case, to impeach Mayorkas. That's really upsetting Republicans on both sides that want to see this to an end, and I'm talking about in both houses. But some Republicans are saying it's better that we have a chance to play this out more in front of the public because we know Schumer's just going to look for an opportunity to get rid of it. And that might well happen. So if Schumer's basic attitude is going to be, I'm going to have it tabled, that it would be considered by, as you heard Kansas Senator Roger Marshall say, a nuclear action by Schumer, and you can expect a nuclear reaction from Republicans. What exactly would that be? That's still up in the air at this point. Thanks for joining us. We're in hour number two of Larry Connors USA. Glad to have you on board with us. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program while we're on the air. You go to Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. If you miss anything, you can pull up the podcast, audio, and our video at LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. You type in Larry Connors USA, you're going to get a wealth of information and where to go. And we will always lead you to the truth. And we'll give you facts to back it up. And I'll identify sources for you. We don't try to hide anything from you. And let me take a moment to remind you again, when it comes to News Talk STL, we have two different FM signals, 101.9 and 94.1. Depending on where you are, if you're to the western side of St. Charles, that's probably 94.1, or even in St. Charles, a little to the east of it. But anywhere from that point way to the east of O'Fallon, Illinois, it would be a 101.9 FM. But if you have the app, the News Talk app, which is free, you just put it on your phone, you open it up from anywhere, play it through your car, your Bluetooth speaker. And you can listen to us from anywhere, and I mean anywhere. You could be in, I wouldn't hope you'd be in China, but if you were in China and they let you have your phone, well, you could listen to us. I don't think they'd let you keep it once they hear what I had to say. Anyway, glad to have you on board. The only other number you need to remember is that this station is number one. Number one when it comes to live conservative talk. For the St. Louis area. Live, local, conservative, with an analyst and opinions, and at the same time giving you sources where you can check it yourself. We don't want a bunch of sheep. We want you to think for yourself. And I know most of you do. So let's go back to the fact that Chuck Schumer may decide that he is going to delay once he got the action from Mike Johnson. He's already sent a letter over, but maybe he's being urged now to hold off. Don't push it right now. Let's let it play out. Let's get more out to the public before Schumer, because Schumer may decide just to table the whole thing. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas and Louisiana Senator Kennedy say, how dare he? And yes, he would.
The second reason Schumer wants to table the articles of impeachment is he does not want a trial. He does not want the American people to see the facts. When each of us lay out the facts of what's going on, no Democrat argues. There's not another side. They don't defend it and say, no, 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 it's great. Don't worry about the people who are dying. Don't worry about the children being raped. Don't worry about the Mexican drug cartels making billions of dollars. The Democrats have no response. Their response is they count on the media not to report it. That's their entire strategy.
And Senator Schumer is just going to dismiss that? Not even hold a trial? Because he thinks he has the votes and it's politically expedient? Isn't that special? And every one of you here know that if Republicans were doing the same thing, you would be catatonic and foaming at the mouth.
Yes, you would. They would be rabid as dogs. You know, I was teaching young journalist students, I was always telling them, words matter. Choose the correct word. If you say the governor is mad, well, he might be mad, like a dog foaming at the mouth. But I think you mean he's angry. Or maybe you mean both. He's angry and mad. In this case, Chuck Schumer is mad and angry, and he's certainly gotten the anger out of Texas Senator Cruz and Louisiana Senator Kennedy. So Schumer wants to find a way to delay and maybe table this impeachment of Mayorkas. That's why some House members are saying, let's don't force it right away. Let's get a little bit more play and get it back in front of the public so they understand everything. Then we go after Mayorkas. And the open border issue is right in front of us. They can't ignore it, right? They can't ignore it, but they will. Yeah, in fact, the state-controlled media, because it carries the water for the White House all the time, they're not even dealing with the possibility of impeachment of Mayorkas. They want you to concentrate on a trial that's supposed to open Monday involving Donald Trump.
Jury selection now, after yesterday's decision, slated to begin on Monday in a historic criminal case against a former president of the United States. Do you see anything between where we sit right now and this trial actually getting underway on Monday?
The former president looks increasingly desperate to keep this one from going to trial. And Willie, I know we've gotten into the habit of calling it the hush money case, but Judge Juan Merchan issued a series of rulings earlier this week talking about how he would conduct the jury voir dire, the jury selection process. He will read a description of the case to jurors that will explain that it's about interference in advance of the 2016 election. And that's where this case is properly positioned. That's why Trump is so desperate to keep it from going to trial. Look, I've seen defendants who really don't want their case to proceed to engage in a full display of delay tactics late in the game. We might see someone become ill. Certainly that won't benefit Donald Trump politically, but you know, when the stakes are this high, maybe he'll decide it's time to develop an illness. He might try firing his lawyers. But what has seemed clear in the last few days is that the courts are on to what's going on here. And these New York appellate judges have said, look, you can appeal your issue about venue or the gag order, but what you can't do is delay the trial in order to do that.
Well, that's what they say because they're New York judges, and some may have been appointed by Trump. But the bottom line is, this is not a prosecution of Donald Trump. It never has been. It's a persecution. And they can say the public that was listening then to MSNBC questioning former U.S. Attorney Joyce Vance, saying that, yeah, he might get sick or something to delay it, but that's not going to work, and everybody will see through it. Just like we see through, here's what we do see through. This whole thing has been a setup all the way back to the, quote, Russian collusion, and when it really was involving Hillary Clinton and the Democrat National Committee. But never mind the facts. They're such nasty things when they get in the way of a good narrative, a good story. I like to just tell a good story, and I don't want anybody to question where I got my information or how it happened or if it's true. Don't do that. You interrupt my story. That's the way the leftists look at it. And I'm going to interrupt every damn time I can. Because I would rather hear the truth, even if I don't like the truth. I'd rather hear the truth. And I think most of you would. That's why we actually have a lot of many, many independents that listen to the station and numerous Democrats that listen. And we're glad to have you because at least you're thinking for yourself. And again, I remind you, we don't want you to follow us blindly. We're going to give you sources and information, and maybe you've heard some, maybe you haven't, but we give you a different take. I always encourage you to look anywhere and everywhere for your information. Well, there was a story that came out of the White House today, and they were treating it even on Fox News as breaking news, and I don't dispute that at that point of the day when it happened. But I decided to, I led with it in the first hour in case you missed it and had a lot more to say on it. But this hour I thought, you know what? First of all, I think this is what we call in a mystery novel, a red herring. You know what that means? You think you got the guy identified by reading through the mystery novel. You know who did it. You know who did it. You know it's not the butler, but you know who did it. And then you realize, no, you got caught by a red herring and followed it on a false trail, and you don't have the real culprit. So when Joe Biden makes his statement today, as reported by Peter Ducey, he doesn't make it directly. He has his minions go out and kind of whisper and murmur and drop a little text notes here and there. So maybe it looks like something's going to happen. Well, here's Peter Ducey's report, but then we'll break it apart.
President Biden is likely to sign an executive order that would limit some kind of that would limit illegal border crossings by the end of this month. That is according to a report in Axios that is also detailing this new fight in the West Wing among Biden staffers who don't want to lock the border down the way that Trump did because they think it's inhumane, and between Biden staffers who see the polls and they can see that they are getting clobbered here at the White House by Republicans on the issue of immigration and the border. It seems, according to this report, that this executive order would be similar to what they floated as a trial balloon around the State of the Union that never happened. It would limit who can actually claim asylum once they encounter Border Patrol.
And, of course, right now, everyone can. And, in fact, they don't even have to get to the border. They can get a parole pass deep down in South and Central America, the way Biden has set it up. So the word coming out of the White House is that Biden might be ready to change his approach on the border, but he's got to be aware of the woke crowd. He doesn't want to lose them, and yet he's trying to calm other Americans who realize, what the hell's going on? Once again, Peter Ducey.
It would limit who can actually claim asylum once they encounter Border Patrol at a point of entry, but again, we have no reason to think that this is definitely going to happen except for this report, because they have floated this. They have floated this. We don't know if this is just something where the political folks here want to put out the word that they are concerned about this issue, but it's just something that they are looking into. They are looking into. They are looking into down the line, because in this interview that just dropped last night, President Biden is talking about this piece of legislation, the bipartisan Senate legislation, as the best remedy for fixing problems at the border. The problem with that bill is it's not like officially dead, but it's never going to become the law. And so they keep talking about it as the best way to fix this huge thing that they admit is a problem now, but it's not realistic that that's ever going to make it to his desk. So they are looking at executive orders, and we'll see. We will see where they get with that.
Well, let me tell you where we're going right now while they muddle around as to what they're going to do with it. I'm looking at a report from a Miami Congresswoman, Maria Salazar. And she is saying that right now, thousands of Venezuelans fleeing from the Nicolas Maduro regime are seeking refuge in the U.S. That we have known for some time. But she's pointing out that most of these, again, coming out of a Venezuelan prison and now become an umbrella organization for other gangs, and they have already dominated crime in vast areas of South America, ranging in everything from extortion, car theft, kidnapping, drug trafficking, prostitution, murder for hire. What else would you want to do if you're going to be a criminal? Peddle fentanyl. Well, that's also in there, too. But she is saying, again, this Florida Congresswoman Salazar is saying they are now trying to establish a beachhead in the U.S. with the support of the Biden administration that is letting them come in as it is. And quoting what she had to say, this follows a beating of that police officer in New York City, two recent murders all attributed to the gang. She said the group has been associated with the crime wave across Latin America before they ever got here. A 700% increase in kidnappings in Chile associated with the presence of that gang. And now they're in the U.S. and saying that what is recently we've seen, that is just a taste of what's to come if we don't start getting serious about this threat. So she wrote a letter to President Biden saying you've got to designate this gang as an invading criminal army from a prison in Venezuela. Well, of course, the Biden administration is still muddling around, looking and thinking, should we do something about this? Should I do something? And there we come back to Peter Ducey, and he's making his report, because if you keep in mind, Biden has said, well, I can't really do anything about the border. I tried, like on the students, I tried to do the students, and the court knocked that down, and the court will probably fight me on this. When I stop 1 second, is the student loan issue a bigger deal than invading our country? And secondly, you want to claim that, well, I'm worried about what the court will do? He didn't seem to worry about that when it comes to throwing it back in the face of the court regarding student loans. Peter Ducey again.
This is a president who knows that some of his bolder policy proposals are going to land him in court, but it didn't stop him when he wanted to float and put forward a student loan forgiveness plan that most of was struck down by the courts. It's unclear why he has not wanted to color outside the lines on the border yet, but it sounds like things have become such a political problem for them that they're going to try at the end of this month, according to Axios.
Well, Maria. I mean, it's 6 months before an election, so maybe that is why. But, Peter, you always ask the most obvious questions to Karine Jean-Pierre. My question in all of this is, President Biden claims he's examining what kind of power he has to change things at the border. Does that mean he regrets overturning Donald Trump's security at the border when he walked into the White House in the first 2 weeks?
If he does, I don't think you'll ever hear him express regret or apologize, because that is like the number one rule of winning an election. Just don't apologize for anything and keep moving forward. And it sounds like they are going to at least try to create the impression that they are considering something new to address the border.
Yeah, something new and anything to distract you from the reality of the situation. While we continue to be invaded. And don't forget the reasoning for even considering a change. One, many Democrats want to see it shut down, but they don't want to speak out that publicly about it. But they know that it's going to hang around their neck when they go to the election in November, not just for the White House, but congressional seats and Senate seats. And there's not one Democrat willing to stand up and say, yeah, open border is a great idea. Let's keep it up. No way possible. Coming up, a Federalist writer says the Washington Post is basically worse than Russian propaganda. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local?
Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019-941 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on?
The Rob Carter Show.
Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
Must be the whiskey. I've been drinking to remember and drinking to forget. I got I love you on my mind. I got Jim Beam on my breath and loneliness has got the rest. I've got nothing left within me. Must be the whiskey.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on before, and glad to have him again, Eddie Scarry. He's with The Federalist. And one of your articles, just the title caught my attention, that the Washington Post is more Russian propaganda than what we get from the Russians. Let's begin, Eddie. Go ahead.
Oh, that's right. I mean, it's based on an article that just ran this week that might give a lot of that might have given a lot of their readers some deja vu, because it was touching on something that we haven't seen since 2016, but I guess every year is 2016 since 2016.
Absolutely.
but it is all about, once again, how Russia is ramping up their influence campaign, propaganda campaign in the U.S. to affect some sort of change, which, of course, that actually does happen. But in this case, the Washington Post is trying to lead believers lead readers to believe that the only reason there is such opposition, largely among Republicans, but it is widely across the political spectrum, independents and Republicans mainly, why there is opposition just dumping endless more money in Ukraine. That's supposed to be, we're told by the Washington Post, the result of some highly sophisticated propaganda campaign from Russia, because, you know, you can't possibly be against sending billions and billions of dollars more to Ukraine as you watch your own savings dwindle to nothing, unless it's because Russia told you to.
Well, you know, on one hand, that one point, yeah, folks are, it's like our borders. I mean, why do we want to spend money protecting a foreign nation's border and we won't do our own? And then if you're going to relate it to the economy, yeah, you should be concerned about how you're going to feed your family. But the Washington Post saying maybe you've lost your priorities?
Well, right. This is, I'm going to read a little bit from the piece, because it said that the intent of this propaganda campaign is to, quote, cultivate an environment in which Americans are not ready to sacrifice their well-being for the sake of the conflict in Ukraine. You know, there must be something really, really wrong with you if you are not ready as an American to sacrifice your own personal well-being. You're okay with taking out a second mortgage every time you have to go to the grocery store, every time you have to fill up the tank, watching the hordes and hordes of destitute flood across the border, needing more taxpayer resources, needing to be clothed, needing to be fed, needing to be housed, all of the expenses of the taxpayer. If you're not fine with all of that, plus giving more money to Ukraine, there must be really something wrong with you, according to this Washington Post
article. Yeah, you might need may need transgender surgery. Maybe it's gone that far. I don't. I'm looking. I'm looking at, again. You're listening, to Eddie Scarry with the Federalist. I'm looking at how you began this, and I love your opening line. An unintentionally hilarious exclusive in the Washington Post claiming Russian propaganda is both creating an exasperating opposition among Republicans to dump more money into the war in Ukraine. You're right. I'm laughing, and yet I'm crying.
Oh, no, absolutely. The story was stupid in 2016, and it's stupid now. I mean, the idea back then was that Russia was creating all these farms of bots that were flooding, you know, Twitter and Facebook and social media. And you actually looked at the details of what they were supposedly doing, and the whole idea was they're just, you know, rubbing the sores in America, all of our sore spots, you know, pouring gasoline on our fires, and, you know, racial tensions and equity and all. And, you know, don't even some of the memes that were allegedly, because I think there's actually evidence that a lot of what were identified as Russian bots were actually not Russian bots. They were actually just Americans who had anonymous accounts. You know, the idea was just inflaming tension. But there were even ones that were anti-Trump. There were ones that said vote against Trump and racism. But, you know, I hate to break it to the Russians that if, to the extent that they have this propaganda campaign, if they're spending a single dollar on trying to exacerbate our controversial issues, elevate talks of racism, accusations of racism, sexism, bigotry, they can save their money. Our media does that all day long. MSNBC and the Washington Post, the New York Times, they do all of that just fine on their own. We don't need any help over here with that.
Well, you point out that, and you also say, raise your hand if you needed someone real or fake to tell you the southern border has collapsed as a direct consequence of this president's policies and everything else going to hell for the same reasons. Yeah, there's a lot of hands going up.
Yes, and that was the problem in 2016. And you even had people quoted in the Washington Post, I'll add. You know, they were going to protest, and when they're finally told, do you know these protests were, you know, again, allegedly organized by, Russian influence accounts on Facebook? You had the people, these Democrats, they were actually Democrat protesters who said, you know, if Russians organize this, these are real feelings we have here. We already know the same thing today. We don't need anyone telling us that, to focus on the border. That's a problem. Americans see this stuff day in and day out. They're not stupid. As stupid as they believe, as the media believe that, middle income earners are, you can't just tell them, you know, it's only because of Russia that you don't care enough about Ukraine. Right. You know, you're so preoccupied with your wallet and paying attention to the border. Why don't you look at Ukraine? Well, no, people understand what their own interests are, and Ukraine is certainly not up there with their own wallets and certainly not up there with their own country.
Well, you point out a Pew research showing a plurality of Americans apparently feeling we've financially shackled ourselves a little too tightly to Ukraine, and we don't have any other way to get out of it and other than just paying more, and Russia says that's good with us.
Exactly, yeah. We've seen a support, public support across the board. Obviously, it's mostly with Republicans, but independents for sure. Saying, you know, this has gone on a very long time. It depends on how you ask the question. What they do say, I think at this point, it's actually 70% across the board of Americans say, we believe Americans should be, that the U.S. government should be helping facilitate talks to end this war. You know, the idea that we're just supposed to give money, and it's supposed to be for democracy, which, mind you, Ukraine is not a democracy. It just doesn't slap with the American people. They're not interested in hearing that anymore. If the choice is, and it seems to be, the choice is, in order to save democracy, you have to be poor. You have to be a poor person, and you have to not care that there's floods of destitute coming across the southern border. You have to not care about those things.
And everybody would be equal, except there would be some that are more equal. Now, with this issue and Ukraine and Ukraine funding, which they're going to be presenting again here pretty soon, another bill for it, and the many Americans have had the attitude and expressed by strong conservatives in the House and some in the Senate, not another dime until we actually spend money to close our borders. And now word is circulating out of the Biden White House just a few months before the election by pure coinkydinky. Maybe we'll come up with a new border plan.
Oh, I don't believe it for a second. And in fact, I'm writing about that at this very moment. The article will probably go up today or maybe early tomorrow with the Federalist. This is this whole thing where he's examining whether he has the authority to beat back foreign invaders at the border. Right. That is nonsense. It is explicitly written in multiple places in the National Immigration Act. It says that the president has wide latitude. Anyone who is deemed a detriment to U.S. interests, anyone who's a who's potentially a charge on the public, meaning the taxpayers, by very nature of crossing the border, needing to be processed, needing to be clothed, needing to be fed, needing to be sheltered, that is taxpayer money. That is a public charge. There is no dispute about this.
And Biden has no concern about the court when he makes his decision to fly in the face of the ruling that he is going to grant amnesty for those who hold student loans.
Oh, yeah, and he never cares. Joe Biden never cares. They just say, we'll do it, and then we'll see what happens with the courts if when we get there. If he really cared about this, which he doesn't, he would do this right now. He wouldn't have to wait and study this. He's just looking to buy time. He's been buying time on the border since the beginning, since he said that Kamala Harris was going to study the root causes of migration from Central America. Well, that went nowhere. He's going nowhere this time either.
Well, again, Eddie Scurry for the Federalist, you're kind of giving me a preview of what's going to be in tomorrow's article. So I've already pointed out previously that often these are just trial balloons to see how well they go and if they float or if they fall dead. But this administration knows if you don't back it up, and of course he's got to do it before November Election Day, and he won't be doing that. He just wants the word circulating that I'm working on it.
Oh, yeah, he's just buying time. Same thing that he does with Israel, where he comes out and says, well, I'm very upset with Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm threatening to do something. And then what have we seen? Then it's a new round of aid. They're trying to push. It's like I'm not drawing a direct comparison. I'm just saying this is another thing where he knows that he's in a politically fraught position. So just buy me more time. And, of course, he can count on the media to do that for him because they do it every time.
Well, they're always going to carry the water for him. Eddie, one other point. You point out the Washington Post. Now, you obviously threw the dart specifically at them, but I imagine there's a much wider target that you're considering.
Well, it's all the media. I think I just happened to come across this one article, and again, I call it unintentionally hilarious because I always read this stuff back in 2016 about the Russian influence campaign. They're talking about, you know, memes of Bernie Sanders in a Speedo for gay rights, and that's supposed to somehow sway a single vote. No, it didn't work then, and it's nothing now, but they try to make it seem scary just because they're trying to push some more money to Ukraine. It's a con. It's a scam.
Yeah, and I just noticed you found a way to get your name back into it. Okay, Scurry. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much for your time. Eddie Scurry with the Federalist. Coming up, Gloria Steinem and her movement to help women, and her thoughts about transgenders, and the congresswoman who knows nothing about the moon, even though she was on the science committee in the House.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beale knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beale has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beale. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL.
See the ways of this world just bring you to tears. Keep the Lord in your heart and you'll have nothing to fear. Live the best that you can and don't lie and don't steal. Keep your nose on the grindstone and out of the pills. Well, Daddy, I've been trying. I just can't catch a break. There's too much in this world that can't seem to shake.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I remember your words.
For me, the biggest aha moment was going to cover an alternate abortion hearing here in New York City for New York Magazine. And for the first time in my life, I heard women standing up in public talking about something that only happened to women, that was life-threatening, that subjected you to sexual harassment. That was the light bulb. You know, why is this illegal? Why is it criminal? Watching the abortion hearing, I had this feeling of sudden unity. You know, something you think that has been only your experience and maybe your fault, you suddenly realize is incredibly widespread. It is a result of unequal power. It's a result of politics. It's unjust.
That is Gloria Steinem speaking about the issue of abortion. That's a recent interview and her views on abortion. Now, she had an abortion herself in 1957. She would have been 23 years old, I believe, at that point. She had it in India because she couldn't have it here in the States. And then later when she was attending some of these abortion rallies in D.C. and beginning to get more involved in the women's movement and actually became a founder of the, I would say, the grandmother of the women's movement, then she made it clear that we should have been paying more attention to these issues long before, and these issues are basically only for women's concerns. No, they're not. They're not. Does the father, if he's around and has an interest, does he not have a say in it? Let's begin there. And the more important thing, what about the baby to be born? That could be another member of your women's movement if you allow the birth. But you're going to allow another woman to kill possibly a woman. She was a columnist for New York Magazine, co-founder of Ms. Magazine. In 69, she published an article, After Black Power, Women's Liberation. That got her a lot of national attention. So in 1971, she co-founded the National Women's Political Caucus and began to help support women seeking elected and appointed offices. 1971, she co-founded the Women's Action Alliance. 1997, providing support to a network of feminist activists working to advance feminist causes and legislation. In the 1990s, Gloria Steinem, and I know some of you women who are younger, you don't know anything about this woman. She paved the way for many of you, and you don't know anything about her. She helped establish Take Our Daughters to Work Day, an occasion for young women to learn about future career opportunities. And then in 2005, she co-founded the Women's Media Center, an organization that works to make women visible and powerful in the media. Now, making women visible brings us to the issue of Transgender Visibility Day, March 31, which this year fell on Easter. Gloria Steinem, and when it comes to transgenders, pointed out in 1977, amid increasing anti-trans sentiment surrounding transgender athletes in particular in general, in 1977, involving specifically Renee Richards, she published an anti-trans article. Gloria Steinem published an anti-trans article titled, "If the Shoe Doesn't Fit, Change the Foot." She claimed transsexuals are paying extreme tribute to the power of sex roles in order to set their real human personalities free. She added they surgically manipulate their bodies, and she basically embraced the conspiracy theory of the transsexual empire. Not that it was good. She just acknowledged it was building. Again, let me point out to you, that is 1977. In 2013, she addressed, quote, "words circulated out of time and context." That's the way she's looking about what she had to say back in that time frame of 1977, 2013. Well, those words are circulating out of time and context. So then she wrote something else. She said, "I want to be unequivocal in my words. I believe that transgender people, including those who had transitioned, are living out real, authentic lives. Those lives should be celebrated, not questioned. Their health care decisions should be theirs and theirs alone to make. And what I wrote decades ago does not reflect what we know today as we move away from the only binary boxes of masculine or feminine and begin to live among or along the full human continuum, identity, and expression." Point in that piece that she just stated says nothing reference to the age of those who suddenly are pushed into transgender and mutilation of their bodies. If you're talking about a grown adults, I endorse what you said. I may or may not agree with it fully, but if they're adults, so be it. That was again in 2013. In 2021, 8 years after those words and just 3 years ago, she signed an open letter supporting trans women and girls, saying, quote, "I am proud to sign this letter because we all must fight against the unnecessary barriers placed on trans women and girls by lawmakers and those who co-opt the feminist label in the name of division and hatred." Co-opt the feminist label. Isn't that what a transgender does? They co-opt the feminist label? Do they do it to divide? Some maybe. Do they do it out of hatred for women or hatred for men? Hatred is hatred. Or do they do it because they feel that's the way they want their lives to be? Again, if they're an adult, that's their decision. But she doesn't specifically address, and I've looked at several interviews, I couldn't find a piece that clearly made it clear to me even that she does not think transgender should be in women's sports, because basically everything I have comes back to what I just read you. We must fight against the unnecessary barriers placed on trans women. Well, that would be you cannot participate, really transgender men, you cannot participate in women's sports. Men's sports are open. If a woman wants to compete in a men's sport, generally they're allowed. Even in football, they may serve only as a place kicker because they're not maybe strong enough, fast enough, whatever is needed for the position they're going to be playing. But when it comes to physical sports, there will be a difference. If it's a chemistry test, an experiment, if it's a chess game, you don't need to worry about, are you male, female, whatever. I went to purchase tickets for a flight the other day, and I was very tempted when it wanted to know my gender to put none of your damn business. But it's a computer-generated thing. I had boxes to check only, and I guess I could have put female and see what would happen. It'd be against everything I got on my passport, my driver's license. Might have kept me from getting on the plane. So I thought, nah, I don't want to take that chance. And speaking of abortion, real quick, the state Supreme Court in Arizona ruled the other day that they need bans on abortions so Republicans can win Arizona in November. So they're trying to enshrine abortion rights in the Constitution. It might likely, let me put it this way, a measure to enshrine it might likely be on the ballot. And Democrats believe the decision by the state Supreme Court will help them not only pass the abortion initiative, but take control of the legislature and win up and down the ballot. Republicans have one vote majorities in both legislative chambers, which they have controlled since 1967. One of the big players at this point would be Republican Senate candidate Carrie Lake. She came out against that Arizona State Supreme Court ruling that bans nearly all abortions, with exceptions only to save the mother's life. She said, "I oppose today's ruling. I'm calling on Democrat Governor Hobbs of the state legislature to come up with an immediate, common-sense solution Arizonans can support." Lake did say in 2022, the near-total ban the ruling upholds is, quote, "a great law and sets an example for other states." And she's called abortion in the past the ultimate sin. Democrat Congressman Gallego, who's going to probably face Lake for that Senate seat, pounced immediately on the Arizona ruling and Carrie Lake's remarks, adding, "Yet again, extremist politicians like Carrie Lake are forcing themselves onto doctors' offices, ripping away the right for women to make their own health care decisions." So again, as we began this segment, reference Gloria Steinem, pointing about, I had an aha moment on the abortion issue after she had had an abortion in 57. In the 70s, she began to realize, aha, this is an abortion, this issue only affects women. It does not affect only women. It affects families, it affects the fathers of the children, and it certainly affects the children, who may or may not be women, if they have a chance to live. I will give credit to Gloria Steinem on one thing in particular. First of all, she's not being definitively against transgenders participating, men participating in women's sports, where women can be harmed. I would think if she wants to protect women, she would be strongly advocating against it. But I guess she's realized, I can't fight the woke mob. Even I, Gloria Steinem, hear me roar, I am woman. She cannot fight the woke mob. And with that, she's admitting that she's in her closing days, and she's getting a question that she does have an answer for.
The reaction from mainstream culture to the women.
And Gloria Steinem talking about that she has a torch that she's been carrying and knows that at some point that would be the torch she wants to pass to all women. Don't want to be the only one carrying it.
People at my age do ask me, you know, who am I passing the torch to? And I always say, first of all, I'm keeping my torch, thank you very much. And I'm using it to light other torches, because everybody needs a torch. That is a way better revolutionary image than one person with a torch.
And that I will agree with. All right, let's change subjects. Let's talk about an issue that the solar eclipse the other day is a perfect opportunity for one congresswoman to show how much, or let me correct that, how little she really knows.
A full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable.
That is Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat of Texas, stating basically a full moon is that complete rounded circle which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is, why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? And she incorrectly referred to the moon as a planet. And then, just to make sure you know she has a clear understanding, she pointed out the sun is a mighty powerful heat, but it's almost impossible to get near the sun. The moon is more manageable. You know, she went one time after man had landed on the moon. She went to NASA and had been serving as a member of the science committee and ranking member on the Space and Aeronautics Subcommittee, went to NASA and demanded to see the flag that we had planted on the moon. Now, I want to see it. I said, well, we don't have it. It's still on the moon. And her first reaction was, call them racist. You're not going to let me see the flag? I want to see it. So here she's taking a lot of heat, no pun intended, reference the sun, that the moon is mostly gas. She was speaking to kids. They're all going to go out and look at the solar eclipse. So now she's replying on Twitter. Obviously, I misspoke and meant to say the sun. But as usual, Republicans are focused on stupid things instead of stuff that really matters. What can I say, though? Foolish thinkers lust for stupidity. Well, if I were lusting for stupidity, I found it. I found it. We all make mistakes. But she went on and on about the moon basically puts off its own heat and stated with the sun and the eclipse and the moon is shutting down some of its heat during that time. Words to that effect. I mean, if I get into that circle, I'll never get out of it. That is a rabbit hole. Help me, God. Do not let me fall down in that one. Don't throw me in the briar patch. Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.